The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Good to be with you. It sure seems like what the Lord had planned for this week on the show is to deal with students. And we've been doing that all week. We had Alan Hahn from Iron Academy in on Monday. And yesterday we had Charla in talking about personal finance training for young people. And that was awesome. And today, continuing on, I said this for the last few months, that I'm going to be having on all the best Wake County School Board candidates. I don't know all of them, but I know a lot of them and have gotten to know a lot of them. And as we've been dealing with what's going on in the schools, which, by the way, has been going on for a long time, it's just that in the last couple of years, because of COVID, because of Loudoun County, Virginia, and things in the media, more and more people are awake. Talk about being woke. They've been awakened to some of the sad realities of what's going on in the school system. And for a lot of people, like my guest today, Wing Ng, it's a matter of, okay, do I sit here on the sidelines and just continue to complain and be concerned, not only about our own kids, but about other people's kids? If you're going to call yourself a Christian, then the golden rule applies to you. Love your neighbor as yourself. And even if your kids aren't in school, or they used to be in school, but they're not school anymore, you're a homeschooler, you're private school, whatever the case may be, you're a grandmother, grandfather, doesn't matter. The fact is that other people's kids are in schools, and so you have a biblical calling to be involved with that and to be concerned about that. So certainly this is a big deal as we look at Wake County school boards, and especially here locally, Wake County, North Carolina, one of the biggest school systems in the nation. And this is a unique opportunity, Wing, welcome to the show, to literally take over the school board. It's been basically a liberal organization for a while, and now you've got all these seats up. And literally, conservatives could take over the school board. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome.
And it is. It's a very good opportunity to do something, constructive for this Wake County.
Which doesn't seem like too much to ask, but obviously it has been, as we've seen what's going on, which is not unique to Loudoun County, Virginia, or Wake County, North Carolina. This is happening, unfortunately, all over the country. You have an interesting background. You're a physician, but you were not born in this country. You were born in Hong Kong, and your family moved here when you were 8, right?
Right, right. So when I was 8 years old, my father and my mother brought me and my two older sisters all the way from Hong Kong to America. We settled in Texas.
Wow.
And that's where I grew up. Coming to America was my dad's dream, and not because it's the land of opportunity. Not only because of that, but because we know that what was going to happen to Hong Kong, eventually, in 1997.
Chinese rule. Yep.
Right. And so my dad, he was a tailor, and he had a trade that somehow the U.S. found attractive to be able to say yes, and he's allowed to come.
Wow.
So he actually tried a couple of times. Only the second time that he actually get approval to come.
Yeah, to come over.
Right.
Do you remember much about that transition? That had to talk about culture shock.
Oh, I remember. I remember flying on the airplane for the very first time.
Oh, man.
Across the world to come over here, and I remember the tray of food.
Wow.
And I ate something that looked like a grape.
It sounds like it wasn't.
It wasn't a grape. It was a black thing that looks like a grape, and I bit into it, and it was salty, and it was a black olive.
An olive. Oh, yeah. That's a bit of a shock.
Yeah. So that was the first culture shock. But, in Hong Kong, there was hardly any green space.
Yeah.
I landed in San Francisco to stay with some relatives for a couple of weeks, and then went over to Texas, and I just thought, oh my goodness, this is all this green space.
Yeah, wide open.
Oh, it was just a
What part of Texas did you guys settle in?
Houston.
In Houston, okay.
Right.
Yeah, so and not far from the water, but plenty of green there, unlike North Texas or West Texas.
Right.
A much more lush area. And then eventually went to medical school. You ended up at Baylor. But with your parents' perspective, Wing, we're talking to Wing Ng, who's running for Wake County School Board, District 3. His website is Wing, W-I-N-G, for wakeschools.com, wing4wakeschools.com. I was curious, I asked you this before we got on the air, just about how do you think that your parents' background living over there in Hong Kong and then with the threat, obviously, of communist China and then coming to America, how do you think that impacted how they raised you here? Because they had a totally different perspective than the rest of us do that are born and raised in America. We don't know any different.
Well, they certainly, you know, as all Asian parents, you know, they prize education. Although my dad, he only had a third grade education.
Wow.
And my mom, maybe, I'm not even sure how much of an education she had, but it was always their dream for the kids to have a good education. And you know, in Hong Kong, you have to be able to rise above all the others, you know, and compete in order to be able to go to a university, and only if you can afford it.
Yeah.
And so it's something that, you know, most people back then could not do. And so they wanted us to have that opportunity, you know, and this is the land of opportunity.
Yeah. So the elite few get educated over there.
Correct.
But everybody goes to the education system here, and it's not, and college really isn't locked out of many people at all.
Right.
There are colleges, if you have bad grades, that you can get into. There are colleges that are relatively inexpensive relative to other colleges. That growing up, and then we'll get into when we come back, your own experiences with school system and as a parent and what drove you to run. But it would seem in America that from your family's perspective, you're like, oh, my goodness, there's all this education available. But to us, it's not that big of a deal. It's just kind of baked into the cake. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And the idea of having a free quality public education, it is phenomenal. And then, you know, having university here that can is affordable
yeah.
to be able to go and be able to apply and get in
yeah.
On your own merit. I think that is something that is a dream, you know, for a lot of people.
Yeah, they must have been pretty amazed when you not only went to college, but then went on to med school.
Oh, they were very proud.
Yeah, that's super cool. And we're going to take that experience in education. We're going to roll forward. When we come back, we're talking to Wing Ng, who's running for District 3 here in Wake County School Board, Northern Wake County, essentially North Raleigh, all the way up past 98. And by the way, I know some of you are like, I don't live in Wake County. Well, let me be frank. I don't care that you don't live in Wake County. I mean, I wish you did, but this is a lesson for all of us. It doesn't matter where you live. We all need to be involved in what's happening with our schools. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. TheSteveNobleShow.com is the website, and you can get the podcast if you'd like. Whether you go there or where, the only thing that's different about going there to get the podcast versus Apple or Google Play or Spotify or iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcast, we're pretty much on all of them, is that at the website, at the Steve Noble Show website, you can actually search by topic. So if you wanted to see every show we've done on education or schools or the Great Reset or whatever, you can do that at the website. You can't do that on a regular podcast platform, but you can access the show that way, listen and watch whenever you want. Watching, it would be on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, so you can go to the channels there. And subscribe to the YouTube channel on Facebook. You just got to like the page, and then you can be a part of the show. We have more conversation on the video side because we're sitting here in the studio. On a radio, you're listening to commercials on commercial breaks, which is great, and we praise the Lord for that. But we are, because we're in the studio doing Facebook and YouTube, like my guest today, Wing Ng, who's running for District 3 here in the Wake County School Board races, which is basically northern Wake County, northern North Raleigh, as we call it here in the area, that we have additional conversations on the break. So you get a little bit more content when you're part of the Facebook or YouTube audience. So just remember that. But this is a really important topic. I've had several school board candidates on and continue, we'll continue to do that all the way up until early November when the race is. And so we're kind of hearing Wing's background and how he ended up here in Raleigh as well. And he's a physician and his wife and two daughters. And then what, so you get done, you go to med school, Rehabilitation is kind of your specialty.
Right.
And then you're raising your daughters and having to find the right schools and the fit your older daughter's special needs. And so that's a challenge. But when did kind of the Wake County public school system get on your radar screen in general, just in terms of your general concern as a Christian, as an American, as a father and a husband? When did your kind of scope broaden to that?
It really was a kind of a slow reveal. I think just with most Americans, you know, people, conservatives who listen to the radio, mm-hmm. I listen to Glenn Beck, and
yep.
and a lot of those things that he started talking about was just so completely foreign at that time. And it's like, what? Is this really happening?
Yeah, is that really happening?
And then more and more of these stories come out from different places. And then Christopher Rufo comes out with his reports, and those things just started connecting, you know, a dot for me. Mm. And I started looking kind of around me. And at that same time, you know, when the COVID, the pandemic started,
right.
The frustration that I saw in my friends, you know, who are parents of kids in public school, it was just very, very visible. And so I went back to how I felt as a parent of a child with Down syndrome, and our process of trying to go even be considered for the public school.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was where I feel like, yeah, we've been there before. You know, personally, we were there.
You have to get in and advocate for your daughter.
Yeah,
we have to start digging.
We went through the IEP process for kindergarten. And I remember the time my wife and I was at this place, and we took her there for the evaluation, and she had just taken a nap, went over there, and they had her in a room separately for the evaluation.
Yeah.
And then you know, she came back, and they gave us a report later, and we did not think it was a accurate depiction of her performance. You know, I mean, it's like taking a snapshot versus a video.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And
let's see how Steve drives when he wakes up from a 2-hour nap, right, which isn't going to be very good.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, it's I did not feel like they took us into consideration our experience with her. And so I felt like our voice was not heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so and then when this COVID thing happened, when I heard all these parents going to the school board meetings to raise their concerns about things, and nothing was sticking, and they're getting more and more frustrated.
What was your reaction the first time you kind of saw that? Because several of the other folks I've had in, we'll talk about, you go to the school boards. Becky Lou Hobbs was in, and she's like, and they're not, they don't engage you.
Right.
They give you your 2 minutes. You make your complaints. They kind of stare off into space, and then you're done. You're out of there. So it looks like a public forum, but it isn't. It really is pretty much just let the plebeians come in here and say whatever they need to say, and then get them out. We'll go back to what we were doing before.
And I've been to these meetings since then, and I've come to realize that, you know, the one that you see that the people can attend, and it's shown on the video.
Right. You can catch it online.
Right. It's really a built for spectators.
Yeah. It's a show.
It's a show. All the decisions have already been made, pretty much.
Right.
You know, earlier in the day, and you know, behind the scene, and so it is. You know, they do give the forum for people to voice their opinion, but it's kind of like after the fact.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a suggestion box mm-hmm. at a restaurant.
Correct.
You can fill out your card, dump it in there. They're like, yeah, yeah, sure, yeah. Please voice your opinion, but they could turn around, put it in the dumpster when the store closes that night. Right. And the school board just doesn't seem to care. They're very unresponsive. Stories about not returning emails and stuff like that. Were you shocked by what you saw when you went in there?
I found it all very interesting. I guess in a way that I didn't have a child in the mm-hmm. in the school. I didn't have that personal emotional stake at it. So I was able to kind of view it from a distance.
Yeah.
And it was a...
Which helps your objectivity.
Yeah, and I did find it interesting that the people were making points, but like you were saying, you know, they just kind of say, okay, thank you very much, next.
Right. Right. You're like, that's a great point, or that's a great question.
Yeah. So,
but that's the end of it. It just falls on the floor.
Yeah. When I, you know, when even when I had spoken, you know, it was the same thing. You know, and they only give you the 3 minutes, and then you try to kind of cram through all your points into those 3 minutes, and then they say thank you very much, and then it's like, okay, what next?
Yeah, that was it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it is. That's they put it on. It's essentially a show. And I think more and more people have learned, and you mentioned this, Christopher Rufo and people like that, I mentioned Loudoun County. 2-3 years ago, you think, oh, well, that's Virginia. Virginia's really blue. That's Portland. That's California. That's Washington, D.C. That's Chicago. But, you know, here in Raleigh, things aren't like that. But they really are.
Right.
We have major problems in the Wake County School Board, whether you're talking about curriculum, CRT, kind of the worldview that's in there, the gender issues, the sexuality issues. There's so many issues.
Right.
So just because we're not some big blue city, even though Raleigh's pretty blue, doesn't mean we're immune to that. And I think that was a wake-up call for a lot of parents locally. Is there like, I saw this stuff on the internet, and I saw this stuff in Virginia. I didn't think I'd see it right here in little old Raleigh.
And that's the thing, you know, when you live in a red or purple state, you know, and you have this island of progressivism, you don't think about it as being a reality.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a little pocket here and there.
Uh-huh. Right.
But it's a reality if you're in the Wake County Public School System, because it's affecting your children and your neighbor's children. We're talking to Wing Ng, wing4wakeschools.com, running for District 3, which is basically Northern Wake County. We're going to get into individual issues, the thing that Wing really wants to stress as he continues this race in November. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, thestevenobleshow.com is the website. Great to be here with you talking about an important subject that I hope you're paying attention to, whether you live here in the Wake County area of North Carolina, where I'm at, or live somewhere else in North Carolina, or you're in Virginia, or you're in Utah, wherever you happen to be. This is something that we all need to get more involved in. I think most of us know that now. The question is, what can you possibly do? Well, that's why we've got Wing Ng is here in the studio today. He's running for the Wake County School Board, District 3, which is basically Northern Wake County. His website is Wing, W-I-N-G, wing4wakeschools.com, wing4wakeschools.com. But do you know who's on your school board currently? Do you know who's running for your school board? Do you know when your school board election is? Do you know how often that happens? And do you know who is allegedly representing you in your particular part of your county, or however your school board is assembled? And this is obviously a huge issue. And to not engage is basically to tell our children and our neighbors' children we don't really care what's happening to them with respect to education, worldview, indoctrination, and other things. I think we all know how bad it is now. That's one of the things I can thank the Lord for with COVID, is I think it exposed a lot of things, and parents having their kids doing school at home. Now you're exposed to the curriculum. They don't have any textbooks. They're using Google. And now you hopefully realize we've got a huge, huge problem, which is why we need to support people like Wing, who's willing to get in there as a father, as a husband, and a businessman, in this case, as a physician, and invest your time, because it's not a small deal. I asked you earlier, how you doing? And you're like, wow, it's hard. It's a lot of time. It's a huge commitment. And it takes, it's like having a part-time job at least.
It's a sacrifice. And, you know, my wife has been so gracious to allow me to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's taking care of business at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, helping to raise my kids.
But it's kind of a team sport.
It is.
Because it takes a ton of time
and
to be out, because you're going to meetings, you're going to campaign events, you got door-to-door stuff going on.
Right.
Yeah, it's a huge challenge. Let me ask you about just kind of how your faith kind of folds in and affects all this. And then we're going to go through, I've got the issues that I printed off from Wing's website. You can look for yourself. They're all the issues that we should be thinking about, wing4wakeschools.com. But how does that kind of affect what you're doing? It's just your faith in general.
Well, I'm a believer in Christ since I was in middle school. Mm-hmm. And everything that I've done in my years of being alive, I mean, it's since I became a Christian, it's been, you know, all the decisions I've made, it's been infused by you know, what God has shown me. And I think that the idea of giving of myself to a cause is not so dissimilar to, you know, what other people in over centuries have done to, you know, they give of their lives and their, you know, sacred honor to to do a better, make the world a better place.
For something other than themselves.
Correct.
Which is, you know, just look at Jesus himself. I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom. Right. And the question for all of us is, you know, where are we giving ourselves for anything other than ourselves? Or our home, or our family, and those are all important. That's kind of the center of your ministry. But there's a Jerusalem, there's Judea, there's Samaria, and there's the uttermost parts of the world.
Right.
And that's the thing. What are we doing to help other people? And again, I would just remind everybody and challenge you, even if you don't have children at all, or your children are grown, or you're a grandparent, and you're like, well, I don't even have grandkids yet, you're still called to be a part of this because you have to care about everybody else's child, even if you don't have them of your own. And that's just a pretty clear command from Scripture for us to do that. Let's work through some of these issues that you have. And these are right on Wing's website, wing4wakeschools.com. Expect excellence in education and in raising the bar on our students. And I think one of the things that most of us probably don't expect is excellence in the public school.
And that's it's a shame that you know, people have such low expectation of public schools. I grew up in Texas and going to a public school, and I was in a gifted and talented program. There was like, I was, you know, my group was the very first group to have a gifted and talented program for that year, and I had an excellent experience in that. You know, and so, you know, back then they wanted the kids to excel. They picked the people for that program that they know that they have potential to, you know, to be really, really good. And so I was in this group of kids, and we got to be a network, you know, of people that I still connect with that group. I mean, wow. I have a friend of mine who lives in Germany. He was in a gifted and talented program with me.
Yeah, and they raised the expectations; they didn't lower them.
Right.
So,
right.
In terms of Wake County schools, then Wing, like what can we do? What can the school board do to kind of increase the quality of education?
Well, I think that first of all, we have to. Expect a, you know, to change the culture, you know, meaning that right now they're proclaiming that graduation rate is over 90%, but yet, you know, the reading and writing and math proficiency is going down.
Yeah, we graduate a lot, and then we do that by lowering the bar so that we can get them to graduate.
Yeah, they're passing them through so that they have a good graduation rate, and I just feel bad, you know, that these kids are getting farther and farther behind. Because I can even relate with that. You know, so once you get to the point where you don't know something, you're afraid to ask,
right?
Because you don't want to look like you're the idiot.
Yeah, you're ashamed.
Yeah, and so you end up not wanting to ask for help, and then another year passed by, and then another year passed by.
Just compounds.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, tutoring is one of the things that I propose to help with the gap, the learning gap that's been going on. And I, you know, we even had that own experience with my daughter with Down syndrome. You know, when she was at Friendship Christian School, she would be in the regular classroom with typically developing kids, and she would come home from school, and my wife would be the one to tutor her from the time that we get home and to the time that she goes to bed.
And wow, that's a lot.
And it was dedication, but that off because she kept up with the with the curriculum. She was with her peers. She doesn't feel like she's any different.
Right.
So I think that tutoring can do a great thing for this what we call the learning loss.
Yeah, what is that? 'Cause I saw that in terms of in your issues, in your website, when we're talking to Wing Ng, who's running for District 3, Northern Wake County, Wake County School Board, wingforwakeschools.com. Because obviously I think we saw that with COVID. There's a lot of learning loss because everything, it was mediocre. Then you send them home and put them online, it gets even worse.
Right. And so, you know, you're basically looking at the gap between their actual grade level, what they're supposed to be mm-hmm. learning, and mm-hmm. what they actually know. And so that, you know, they are talking about over a year worth of gap between their grade and what they
yeah.
actually know. So, and they recently, you know, talk about how it's going to take 3 to 4 years to catch up to that that loss. And I would say that's a conservative estimate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really sad, and we're going to be paying those prices for a while now. One of the things you also said in the combat learning loss from the website is bringing back textbooks,
right?
Which might be, it might seem silly to people if they're not really involved, but saying bringing back textbooks implies that we don't have any textbooks,
and that's pretty much the case from talking to other parents and
yeah.
even one of our other school board candidates.
Mm-hmm.
She took pictures of these new textbooks that were thrown into the garbage dump.
Wow. Brand new that we paid for.
Yes, yes.
And off they go into the dump.
Right.
Jeez.
And so, you know, textbooks, it's just like reading a real book versus a Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you push a button and next page is gone, you know, and so... You know, if you do online learning, yeah, I mean, you may be learning from that screen, but once you go on to the next one,
yeah,
that content is behind you. And it's harder to go back and reference
sure.
something from, oh, 2 chapters ago mm-hmm. and try to find something. You know, I'm a visual learner, and I really do want to have something
yeah.
that I can see.
Well, you can hold your place and flip back and go, oh, yeah. what was it? And go check it. It's
right,
easy to do.
Right.
It's easy to use.
Right. So textbooks really allow that kind of learning process. And also, you know, during the pandemic when everything was shut down, I really think that having had textbooks in the kids' hands at home,
yeah.
the parents could have helped them
right.
keep up.
Right.
Much more easily.
And by the way, the other thing about having physical textbooks is that mom and dad can actually see the textbook.
Correct.
You can start seeing what's your child being taught, because if they're just using all Google stuff, which is what most schools do, most parental age can't get in there and navigate the Google Docs and getting into all that and trying to find out. But you have a textbook, I can sit there and over a cup of coffee, I can breeze through it
right.
and find out, which I want to talk about on the other side of the break is kind of parental transparency. What are our kids learning? And that's one of the things going back to basics. Returning to a time-tested focus on classic literature, cursive writing, and traditional math. Wow, that's so backwards, Wing. I don't know what you're thinking, like a decent education. By the way, our mutual friend Amy Marshall was on not that long ago. So when it comes to tutors, that's why I really respect what she's doing, trying to help out with that regard. American tutors and homeschool partners, we have to get involved to try to help. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today, having a very important conversation about our education system, the public school system, specifically here in Wake County, North Carolina, the Raleigh area and surrounding area. And that's why Wing Ng is with us today in the studio, wingforwakeschools.com, W-I-N-G, wingforwakeschools.com. He's running for District 3, which is kind of the northern part of Wake County, North Raleigh, up past 98. If you live in the area, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He moved here with his family from Hong Kong when he was 8. They settled in Texas. He eventually went to a medical school at Baylor and then came up here. And it was your medical career that brought you to Raleigh.
That's
to
right.
The area.
Right. I actually was in New York for 5 years before that.
Oh, boy. What was that like?
That was a culture shock. Yeah.
What part of New York did you live in?
I was in Long Island.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I remember that first time driving into Manhattan and then through Manhattan. That was before GPS, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
I had to use my AAA map.
Right, you got the map. Flipping the page. Oh, my. Yeah.
And then driving through Long Island. I, from my first trip through Long Island, I got two people give me the finger.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's just a welcome sign there in the New York area. That just means
but
you're
truly,
though,
the people in New York are very warm people.
Once if you, you engage,
know,
yeah. Oh,
once
yeah.
Once you get to know
yeah, them. You just got to get past kind of the abrasiveness and break that, and then it's fine. Yeah, our daughter lives in Manhattan, so mm-hmm. I know all about that. Let's talk about teachers. We're going through the issues that Wing has listed as website. Wingforwakeschools.com. Attracting and retaining teachers, especially retaining teachers. This is a big story down in Charlotte. They are short, literally hundreds of teachers. Mm-hmm. And I think with COVID and everything going on, and I think there's probably some teachers out there that are struggling to stay in the system with their conscience, depending on what kind of things are being taught, the indoctrination things that we know that are happening in terms of gender and sexuality and Marxism and CRT. There's a lot of crazy stuff in there. But how do you do that? How do you attract and retain good teachers?
Well, I think attracting teachers is probably the easier thing because, I mean, teachers – I think by nature they're just passionate about what they mm-hmm. want to do. I mean, they want to teach, and they went to school to learn how to
yeah.
teach, right?
So they're invested,
right? Exactly. But then the harsh reality sets in, you know, about how you know about the managing behavior in the classroom, and then you know the pay, and then having to yeah. shell out your own money
for basic supplies in
supplies.
Your classroom.
Right. I mean, you know, I think teachers are just soft, hard people, and
yeah.
they want to help their kids even mm-hmm. beyond the curriculum. They want to help them to be successful
yeah.
people.
At a personal level.
Right. And so they spend their own money for that. And so, you know, I think that there is some ways we can try to find resources to help the teachers help the kids.
Because what's your position on the budgetary ability of the Wake County school system?
I think that we need to have a thorough audit
yeah.
of this budget to see what is working, what is not, what is actually helping the students, you know, what is benefiting the students, and then see where the money is going.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like any budget. I mean, church budget the same way.
Sure.
You know? I mean, you set an amount, and you better spend it all before the year is out.
Right.
Otherwise, you're not going to get the same amount.
Right. That's right.
And so, but instead of using that as a standard of whether you deserve the for the next year, we should have some kind of a metric to see,
yeah.
okay, are you actually benefiting? Is this program actually successful?
Yeah, and the whole system's kind of bent around not being accountable, and which is why our mutual friend, you know, Irina Comer is running for Wake County Commission. Just need one person in there because they're all liberals. You just need one person in there, and you know she would. She's going to raise
oh,
her
yeah.
hand, former Russian. She's going to be, excuse me, just some accountability in there because there's a program out of Tony Evans's church in Dallas. Back to Texas,
mm-hmm.
called Adopt a School, which he started probably 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And churches will literally go adopt a school, kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, high school, and go meet with the leadership in the school and go, okay, how can we serve you? What do you need?
Right.
And just about every single school, this happened in Wake County for a while, and just about every church talking to these schools, they're like, well, our teachers actually need some basic supplies. They're like, what do you need basic supplies? Well, you know, crayons and pens and stuff for the walls. I remember the first time I heard that, Wing. I was like, are you kidding me? Our teachers they're not paid a ton anyway, but they're spending their own money just to get their classroom operational with mm-hmm. stuff.
Right.
That's pathetic. Now the bureaucracy is making money.
Right.
The people at the top are making money. I mean,
right.
you want to make big bucks, go run the Wake County Public School System. So there's a lot of waste in there.
There is. I really firmly believe that parents and the community in general can be a big factor in
yeah.
helping teacher retention. Is
mm-hmm.
you know if the teachers feel appreciated,
right,
and they get help from the outside, they can focus on their mm-hmm. actually teaching,
yeah.
and don't have to worry about oh where am I going to get the money to buy the construction paper and, or the you know
yeah.
or just even having you know extra supplies
yeah.
for the kids that. Don't bring them in because their parents
right.
can't afford
to buy
them.
Because their parents can't afford them. And that's one of the things, one of the points on your website, wingforwakeschools.com, is empowering parents. I love this point. Increasing parental participation in the schools through volunteerism and partnering opportunities with teachers. We don't have enough parents that park the car and go in as opposed to just dropping them off.
Right, right. And that is something that I think, the way I have – with my kids in, you know, in private school and also church,
mm-hmm.
the way that we are doing things, it's all very much, everybody chip in and just do whatever it takes to get the job done. And so if the teacher needs something, you know, if the parent can be in the classroom, not just an email sent out to and then nobody will respond.
Right, of course.
But if the parent actually is inside the classroom and see what the needs are, I would bet that the parent would just anticipate the need.
Oh, yeah, some of them are going to go, oh, I can do that.
Yeah, and just get it or help out in, you know, whatever ways that the teacher needs.
Well, that's part of the culture that you mentioned earlier, Wing, and when we see the show that is a Wake County School Board meeting, you know, hey, we'll throw you a bone. We'll let you parents come in and talk for 3 minutes and then get out of here. You got to change the culture going, okay, we want parents in. We want you in on the conversation. These are not our children. These are your children. Mm-hmm. We want you to come into the school. We want you to come into the classroom, meet the teacher. We can't cover all the needs. We need your help. Let's all come together. But they don't want parents in there because of the transparency issue, which you have on here, increasing transparency.
Right. And really the transparency is a means to an end, right? I mean, I think right now the trust issue, mm-hmm. you know, that we're not, that each side is not trusting the other side.
Right.
And so, you know, parents are not trusting the schools, and the school doesn't trust the parents to do what is best for the students. And so I really feel like having the kids, the parents be in the school is the first step towards reestablishing the trust.
Yeah,
and then
that's a great point.
And then having the curriculum be available for the mm-hmm. for the parents to
easily available.
To preview.
Yep,
can help not only you know the discomfort of you know what is the kid going to be learning,
right?
But maybe the parent wants to anticipate. Okay, I know my kid doesn't know this yet, so why don't I do a little bit of help in preparation for you know, my child going into the class.
Should they be
day.
Able to opt out of some of that stuff?
I think that that's
we're going to be talking about gender and sexuality and blah, 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 blah. We're going to be talking about racial issues. But if they're in third grade, I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
And you should be able to pull your kid out of that class. But you got to know what's going on.
Right. You can't opt out if you don't know it.
Right.
So that is really the, you know, knowledge is power. You know, they talk about that, right?
So like in accounting and budgetary things, we talk about opening up the books. That needs to happen with curriculum. Open up the books.
Right.
Show me what's going on there. Let me have access to it. Don't make me jump through a bunch of hoops and go through a website that's going to take 24 different clicks. Like, we just need to have easy access. You mentioned Uvalde earlier. So what can we do in Wake County about school safety?
Well, you know.
And praise the Lord, that hasn't been an issue here
right.
yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, in addition to the school resource officer, you know, being a big chunk of it, and you know, SROs or school resource officers are there to help kind of control, you know, behaviors.
Security, basically.
Security. You know, at one point, several years ago, the school board was actually even contemplating getting rid of defunding this program. And, you know, fortunately, you know, Uvalde, well, not fortunately, but after the Uvalde happened, the school board was willing to fund, you know, this programs.
But this is going to sound terribly cynical, but only because a spotlight got put on it.
Correct.
If Uvalde hadn't happened, if there wasn't a spotlight there, they would have defunded it.
And
they like to defund security.
And there were still, people who stood up to speak in front of the school board talking about, well, we cannot have these security people on campus. We need to have counselors and things like that. Which is not equivalent.
Right. Know? Why wouldn't you have both?
Right.
That doesn't even make any sense to me.
Right.
You just go, okay, hey, raise your hand if you believe there's evil in the world. Bad people, mentally disturbed people, emotionally disturbed people. Yes. Okay, great. How many of you want to keep them out of your schools? That would be everybody. Okay. Mm-hmm. Plus counseling, of course.
Right.
I mean, but security, must.
I mean, working in the hospital. I mean, there's hospital security as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to have it.
Right.
You know, you have to assume that, you know, that we need to control the
right the environment.
Environment first.
And especially, you mentioned this earlier, Wing, especially with like elementary school, like high schooler. OK, they can think for themselves. They're a little more self-aware. They can kind of be aware of what's going on in their environment. But a third grader, that's why we saw in Uvalde, they all died. he can kill them all because they don't. They're just going to be scared, little kids. Right. And you have to protect them, and you have to have the budget to do it, or fix your budget because you probably already have the money. You're just wasting it. We'll have you back in a couple more times before the election because okay. We got to keep hoisting this flag. But it's been great to have you on. Thank you for your time, and
thanks,
thank you,
Steve,
for running.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Wing Ng, wing4wakeschools.com. Wing4wakeschools.com is the website. Make sure you support him. Check out the website. See how you can be a part of his campaign, volunteering, giving money for the sake of not only our own kids, but our neighbors' kids. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.